Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome to the town hall, Straight to the Point, Why Self-Care, with our host today, Sister Jeannie Muhammad. Jeannie Muhammad is a certified life and happiness coach, a certified assertiveness and confidence coach, a certified holistic wellness coach, and a certified self-care coach. She is a professional speaker, a workshop facilitator, a blogger, and podcaster. She is a co-host of the podcast I Am the Data on YouTube and other streaming services. She has authored 9 books. Her latest books are The Self-Care System, Self-Care Strategies That Will Transform Your Life, and The Self-Care System Workbook. She's a wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. She is an advocate against domestic violence, a speaker on Domestic Violence Bureau of Pecklenburg County in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a member of the Domestic Violence Research Collaborative Committee. She supports Safe Alliance, a resource for victims of domestic violence. She loves to cook, read, sew, crochet, garden, watch birds, travel, and write. Without further ado, let's bring on Sister Jeannie Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my beautiful sister. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah. Allah is always good, girl. Every day we can wake up and see another day. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh.
And I am,
yes,
alhamdulillah. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Sister Jeannie, and for you to do your program, inshallah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my dear sister. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I am so thankful to be here today. I am excited because this is such a vital subject that I am going to share with you today. But before we get started, I want to make sure that everyone is in a place where they're relaxed, that they are comfortable, because the information that I'm going to share with you, I consider it life-saving. Be sure to have a pen and pencil handy, because I am sure that some things that I share with you during this time that we have together, you will want to jot down and not just rely on your memory. And because I encourage everyone to do your own research about things that I may bring up. Do your own research, look into everything, make your own decisions about what is best for you. We will be taking a break approximately every 20, 25 minutes so that you will have an opportunity after each one of our breaks to ask questions, to get into our queue and be able to ask questions about what I have gone over in that 20, 25 minutes. You might want to write them down. So be sure to have some form of note-taking, pen, pencil. You know, if you're tech-savvy, you know, you might have your notes in your computer or on your phone. But have some form of note-taking. You have the call-in number for to get in the queue to ask questions. And if you're not in there already, it's 515-605-991. And I think it's #1 to get in the queue to ask questions. So with that, and before I start, I want to make sure that you have my contact information. I'm going to also give it at the end. But for some reason, you may not be able to stay through the entire presentation. I am Jeannie Muhammad, your global happiness expert, and my email is Jeannie Muhammad, J-E-A-N-N-E, Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, @gmail.com. My website is I am Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-E, I am A-M, Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-E-M.com. That is my contact information. So if anything that I say throughout this presentation and you want to contact me about it, please use those two forms of contact. I always say a better me, a better you. That's one of my taglines. So a better me, a better you. My company is Freedom to Live, LLC. I believe that the freedom to live is a birthright. And so what I am going in today for you is for you to ponder over, make some decisions about your life, because the life that we have been given by our Creator is so vital and so important, and we are each unique, and we owe it to ourselves to take care of this body, this gift that we have been given. So let's get into our subject. Our subject is why self-care. Why self-care? Okay, first of all, I want to say and define what is self-care. And this is your journey. As I said, this is your journey. And especially for those of us that are in high-level, stressful environments. That could be, you could be a nurse. And I did a study on some of the highest stress level positions, and this is what came up. Nurses, doctors, teachers, lawyers, judges, policemen. These are some airline pilots, and I was even surprised to see that event planners are listed in the top 10 professions that are the most stressful. And the one thing that most of these people that are in these professions have that you, if you're in one of these professions, is more than like a mother or a father. You might be living in a single parent household where you may be the only parent there, but you're in one of these professions. You're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're a teacher, you're a lawyer, a judge, a policeman. And in addition to all of that that you're handling at work, you're also coming home and being that parental figure for your family, and you may be a sole provider. That in itself can be very stressful. Okay, so what is self-care? Care, I think, is pretty self-explanatory when you think about the word self-care. It's simply taking care of yourself. You assuming responsibility for your care, not relying on what someone else will tell you, not relying on what someone else can, but you taking responsibility, you saying and deciding that I am going to take care of myself, mind, my body, my soul, my spirit. I am going to do this for myself. Okay, now do not confuse self-care with the treat yourself mentality. You know how we'll say, I have worked so hard this week, I deserve to treat myself to a wonderful dinner. And so you go out and you treat yourself to, you know, something special. And then after that, you go back and get on that treadmill or that hamster wheel that's always turning, and don't get off again until you say maybe a month later, I'm going to treat myself. So don't look, please do not confuse self-care with the treat yourself mentality. Self-care is a way of life. Self-care is deciding that and looking at your life and seeing that there is a need for you to do something different. It may mean reinventing who you presently are. To me, is the first step of really truly looking at where you are right now. Look at yourself right now where you are. Stop to think, where am I in my journey, this journey called life? Am I satisfied with where I am? Am I happy with where I am? Am I making sure that I am doing the things for myself that I need to do in order to make sure that my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit is truly satisfied and enjoying life? That takes self-examination. That takes being honest with where we are. That takes really looking at our present condition and being honest about it, because that's what it takes. Honesty. It takes honesty in saying, okay, I am a nurse, I'm a doctor, I may be making as they so say, buku money. I may be just have money, 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 but I'm not really enjoying it. I'm not enjoying it because I'm on this treadmill and I'm constantly going, 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 and I don't take time to really enjoy where I am. I'm not really enjoying life. I'm living, existing, but I'm not really living life. I'm not living a life of joy, peace, and happiness. So why self-care? I could ask you, how are you? How are you doing? And in our lifetime, we're going to be asked this over and over again. You encounter people, you meet someone, and the first thing they may say is, how are you? How are you doing? How have you been? And the problem, and we answer this question, and it becomes so common that we will automatically say, fine, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking me. But are you fine? Are you really fine? Are you really doing good? Are you really happy? Are you really satisfied? Or has just saying, I'm fine, become so automatic that you say it, but that's not really how you feel. That's not really what you have going on. You're not really fine. Okay. Why self-care? If you think that self-care is not a big deal, I want you to consider some statistics. And I'm not going to, I'm going to try not to bore you with too many of these studies that have been done and the numbers. But I think it's important that we really get a handle on why self-care is so important, okay? They've done studies, and, you know, I'm not big on studies really in some ways, but I think that they give us a yardstick to work with because, as most of us know, it's not, you know, written in stone that the number I give you is the exact, you know, so we may, you know, we may have play with the numbers a little. But this is what numerous studies have shown. 75% of people are chronically dehydrated. Just think about 75%. I'm going to give you these numbers, and then I'm going to go back and expound on it for a minute before we take a break. 30% of Americans are overweight. 30%. Of people feel that they do not get enough at least once a month. 70%. 11% have trouble sleeping on a regular basis. 75% of Americans are tired before they even show up for work. 17% of Americans are anxious, and 7% are depressed. Just think about those numbers. Think about those numbers. The biggest is dehydration, not getting enough water. Now you, today, you, yes, I'm talking to you. Have you had water today? Have you had any water today? Did you get up this morning and the first thing that you did was it to get a cup of coffee, but you didn't get anything to drink? Like water or, you know, and I'm not talking about a Coke or a Sprite or any other kind of beverage. I'm talking about good old plain water. Now, this is one of those points where I think that it would be good if you did your own research to see what is the best water to drink, but alkaline water. Make sure that your water that is alkaline water. Go and do your research on that. Find out what is the best water that you can drink. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to give some suggestions about what I do as far as what I have a routine in the morning and what I do in the mornings. But I'm going to give these tips at the end of my presentation about things that we can do to become better hydrated. And if you are dehydrated, you're going to have fatigue. You're going to have a foggy memory. You're going to be irritable. You know, water aids in our digestion. It helps to loosen up your joints. It supplies oxygen to the body. And just think, 75% of us are dehydrated. We don't get enough water. Now, wherever you are, whatever, you know, if you are in a position to get water right now, get you some water to drink right now. Even as I'm speaking to you, as I am coming to you, I am encouraging you, get you some water. Get a drink of water. You know, put some water wherever you're sitting or whatever, if you're in a position to. Now, if you're driving, you may not be able to do this. You may not be in, you know, in a position where you can do this. But if you can, if you're in that a position where you're in your home or you're in a friend's home or if you're at work and you're listening to this and you can get you some water, get you a drink of water. I encourage you to do this because that is the biggest problem with most people, or they are dehydrated. The next is 30% of Americans are overweight. And it has increased since I read this. I went and did some more research, and it says that 41.9% of Americans are not just overweight, but obese. I'm sorry. From 47% to 9.2% of the 41.9% that are overweight, 44.7% to 9.2% are obese. This is something that a lot of us have control over. You know, if your obesity is not because of a health condition, you know, some people have health conditions that may cause them to be obese or overweight, and they don't have control over it. But for the others that do have control, I encourage you to look at what it causes: heart disease, strokes, type 2 diabetes, and even some cancers. So in blacks, it's the number of people that are in this overweight category, and black people really lead the pack when it comes to being obese or overweight. We're at 49.9% of overweight or obese. We're in that 49.9%. So right now I'm going to take a pause right here so that we can take a break. And remember, you can call 515-605-9891 and get in queue if you have a question about something that I have said. Please do that, and after we come back from break, we will answer any questions you may have about something that I have said. So thank you, and we're going to take a break here. Please don't go anywhere. Come back with us because I have a lot more information to share with you. Sister Latifa. Sister Latifa, okay, we are. Hello? Hello?
You're going to take a station identification break. You're listening to Town Hall, Why Self-Care with Jeannie Muhammad. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back. Shalom.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dupreeta Hadi, Director for the MCNRD, Model Community National Resource Directory. With the MCNRD four-step process to becoming a CWSC volunteer. Number one, go to CWSC.us. Number two, click the MCNRD tab. Number three, register as an individual or organization, nonprofit or for-profit. Number four, thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are now a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD directory, the Model Community National Resource Directory. Thank you so kindly, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Why Self-Care with your host, Jeannie Muhammad.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Latifa. Did we have any questions in the queue while we were on break?
No, we do not have any callers in queue.
Thank you. Thank you. Remember now if you have any questions about anything that I have said, please get in queue so that and call 515-605-9891 to ask any questions about anything that I have said. So now we're going to continue with why self-care is so important. I ended with, before we went on break, talking about that 30% of Americans are overweight. And we as black people are at the 49 1.9% of that number that are overweight or obese. We make up the bulk of that number. And in the black community, heart disease, strokes, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers are caused by this overweight condition. Now remember, if you are a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or a policeman or anyone, even airline pilot, event planners, they're in these top percentages of people that are in stressful positions. Now put that on top of being a parent or and going from a stressful position at work and coming home to stress, and your life is just one big stress, then you are not hydrated or you're overweight. This is putting you in a life and death situation. Then we're talking about 70% of people feel they don't get enough sleep at least once a month. At least once a month, 70% of people do not get enough sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I felt as though I could go forever. You know, I was, and this is when I was younger. This is before I realized how detrimental I was to my own health. And I was living a life that was not conducive for my benefit. It wasn't serving me because I was partying, I was drinking, I was doing drugs. And I would do this. I would party all night and attempt to go to work, you know, the next day. Now, what this was doing, and I was not performing at a high level, because how can you perform at a high level when you're operating on maybe 1 or 2 hours of sleep, and you do this day in and day out, you know, after a while, you're almost like a zombie. And that was me, you know, and I know that is a lot of people. You know, if you're not there now, you know, and you may be there now, and this is a judgment-free zone, because I'm not here to judge where anyone is on their journey towards becoming a better person, because I am just saying I've been there. I know I've been overweight. You know, at one time I was overweight, so I've traveled that path. I know that path. I have been dehydrated because wasn't drinking water and didn't understand the signals in my body. So this is a judgment-free zone, but we're talking about self-care. We're talking about taking responsibility for where we are. So wherever you are in your life right now, just look at it and be honest with where you are. If you're not getting enough sleep because, okay, I'm going to just take this scenario, for example. You may be a nurse and you may work a 10-hour shift. And when you get off, all you can think about is having that glass of wine or drinking and popping that beer and drinking that beer and one beer leads to another, or one glass of wine leads to another, and until you realize, okay, you had the whole bottle, and so when you fall out, it's not really asleep, you're just, you know, you're out, and it may be 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you have to be back on your shift at 7 a.m. And when you wake up, you go, you know, you get 3-4 hours of sleep, and you go in to stress. You go in to stress, and this goes on. This is a repeating cycle, and you're just stressed. You're not taking care of yourself. And 11% of people have trouble sleeping on a regular basis. Now, what does this mean? It says in the stats that I went over that if you're, this is the average about how much sleep we need. And sleep, what sleep does is it empowers our body to recover and refresh itself, to regenerate, you know. So the average 18 to 64-year-old needs about 7 to 9 hours of sleep. If you're over 65, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Nowhere did I see where 3 or 4 hours was, you know, good. Now, these are averages. There are some people that function very well on 4 hours of sleep. I'm not one of them. I need my sleep. I found out after I came out of my crazy stage where I was thinking that I could burn the candle at both ends and that I was just perfectly fine, I realized how important it is for me to operate on a high level, on a high vibrational level. I need my sleep. It says that almost half of Americans feel sleepy at some time during the day. Women suffer from insomnia at a 40% higher rate than men. And I attribute this to, you know, we're the caregivers. We're the nurturers. We're always worried or stressing on other people and what we can do for others. Now, listen to this, and this was interesting to me. There are on an average of about 6,000 accidents per year that are caused by drowsy driving, people driving while they are sleepy. I have done that, and I thank God that when I was in this position and I was doing all of these things that I didn't know that was detrimental to me, that I was putting myself at risk and other people at risk by what I was doing. I didn't really consider it, and it was only by God's grace and mercy that I'm here to really say I didn't hurt myself or anyone else. Okay, now, it's 75% of Americans are tired before they even show up to work. Now, go back to the scenario that I gave about, trying to burn the candle at both ends. You're in a high-stress position to begin with, and you come home and rather than doing something that is healthy for your mind, your body, and your soul, you pick up the bottle and you drink, or you do the drugs, or you do something else. You use food for comfort, something else that is not healthy for you, and then you don't get enough sleep. And then when you show up for work, you're already tired. You're already in a position where, and now you have 8, 9, 10, sometimes 12 hours staring you in the face, and you're tired before you even start out. Now, 70% of Americans are anxious, and 7% are depressed. Now, when we think about being depressed, sometimes people are being anxious, do not really understand the chemical makeup of what may cause this. And I'm not a doctor, and so I'm not saying that I'm qualified to be able to know all the ins and outs about it, but I do know that it's real. It's real. Sometimes people do not acknowledge that they're having a problem with anxiety or depression because our society makes it hard for people to own up to it because there's some shame attached to it. There is no shame. There should be no shame if you're dealing with depression or anxiety. There should be no shame attached to it. This is real. This is as real as someone that has a physical problem like diabetes or heart disease or what. Anxiety and depression is real, and there should be no shame attached to it. Anyone that is having these problems should be able to go seek help without feeling as though they're going to be judged in some way. Are real problems with this, and it should be acknowledged. But there are ways, in addition to seeking professional help, that all of the things that I've gone over, we can take some responsibility for helping ourselves, and that's where self-care comes in. That's why it's important that we understand what self-care is and the importance of self-care. Okay, now, you have a hard time thinking when you're in the midst of not enough sleep, being dehydrated. Oh, and by the way, I do hope everyone that was in a position to did get you a drink of water while we were on break. When you are dehydrated, sometimes it's harder for you to think. When you are going through and not having enough sleep, you get more, your immune system is affected. And so you're sick more often. Your quality of work suffers. All of the things that I just mentioned, dehydration, being overweight, not getting enough sleep, being depressed, having anxiety. You feel overwhelmed when you're experiencing all of this. You feel overwhelmed. You wake up tired even after a full night's sleep sometimes because of these other underlying conditions. You sometimes forget what you're about to say. You find yourself in the middle. You're a walking zombie. You've only had maybe 2 hours of sleep, and this is the third, fourth day into that. So you forget, you start to say something and you forget what you were about to say. You miss deadlines. Now, people that are in, and this is why a lot of people that are in these high-stress jobs, the reason it is so stressful is because they have deadlines. And in my study, I was looking at the profession within the profession of the medical professionals that has the highest stress level, and it was urologists. They're at the top of the list. And I was like, why urologists? You know, they study the urinary tract and infertility and things of this nature. And I found that they are, first of all, understaffed most of all, and their patient load is so high, and so they're stressed. So anytime that you're in a position that has a deadline or has numbers attached, how many patients you should see per day and how much time you should spend with each patient, there's going to be some stress involved in that. So knowing that, you know, we should really develop an attitude of a little bit more kindness towards our doctors and our nurses. You find yourself isolating and avoiding social situations. When you are not taking care of yourself, you may be that nurse or that doctor, that lawyer, that judge that has gone through their day, and you're stressed out, you're on the verge of being burnt out. You don't want to be around anyone. You isolate yourself. You don't want to have contact with anyone. You may just want to nurse that bottle, you know, because you're stressed and you're trying to find some relief from the pain that you're in. You're cranky and you feel off. You know, your family, you come home and you've been in a stressful situation all day where you felt you had to be nice to the people around you. So you come home and you take your frustration out on your family, your loved ones. You walk in the house and you trip over the dog or you trip over your son's or daughter's sneakers, and now you go off and you say things to your family that you are sorry for later, but the damage is done. You snap at people. That's because you are not taking care of yourself. So I'm going to stop here, and we're going to take another quick break as we think about what I have just said about why it's important and what are the ramifications of not taking care of yourself. And if you have a question, please get in queue. The number is 515-605-9891, #1. Get in queue to ask any questions about anything that I have gone over with you so far, and I will be more than happy to answer. Or, you know, you may have a question that you're saving for the end. But please, ask those questions. I love to be able to expound on anything that I've talked about. So now we're going to take another break, and we will be back to continue with our workshop, Why Self-Care.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Latifa A. Hameen, CEO for AM360. I would like to extend Ramadan Mubarak to all Muslims. As we approach Ramadan, let us be mindful that this is a month that is dedicated only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan quotes by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "When the month of Ramadan arrives, the door of mercy is open. Fasting is a shield that will protect you from the hellfire and prevent you from sin. Ramadan is a month whose beginning is mercy, whose middle is forgiveness, and whose end is freedom from hellfire. Every action a son of Adam does shall be multiplied. A good action by 10 times its value, up to 700 times. Allah says, with the exception of fasting, which belongs to me, and I reward it accordingly. For one abandons his desire and food for my sake. There are two occasions of joy for the fasting person. One when he breaks his fast, and the other when he meets his Lord. And bad breath of the fasting person is better in the sight of Allah and the fragrance of musk. Oh Allah, we seek you, your help, and we ask you for faith that doesn't fade, blessings that do not deplete, and the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest level of your paradise. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to Why Self-Care. I am Jeannie Muhammad, your global happiness expert. We have been going over the importance of taking care of ourselves and why it is important. Now, we left off with how important it is to take care of ourselves so that we can be available not only for ourselves but also for our families and the people around us. Let's look at this. A lot of times we don't take care of ourselves because we think that it means that we're selfish. When we put time into ourselves, we think of it as being selfish. I'm going to start with his sister, Latifa. I forgot to check and see if we have any questions in the queue from our last session.
No, there's not any callers at the present time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's continue. I have people say to me, self-care is selfish. That means it's me, me, me. It's a me, me, me attitude. No, it's not. And I'm going to tell you why. Thinking of self-care as being selfish is the biggest thing to get in the way of self-care. It's a nagging feeling that we're not supposed to be spending so much time on ourselves. And especially as women, we as women have this nurturing, and we are the nurturers. We are the mothers of civilization. We are the caretakers. We are the ones that, you know, whenever the child is sick, they want to feel the mother's touch, you know. And sometimes we say, isn't it kind of self-centered to be worried about myself? No, it's not. Self-care is not selfish. And because, just think about this. If you are an empty vessel, if you have just gone, you done that 10, 12-hour shift, I'm coming back to nurses, and I'm not picking on nurses, but I'm saying this because nurses are some of the most valuable members of our society. Nurses, doctors, lawyers, the police, all of these contribute so much to our society. Now, nurses, and I'm just using nurses as an example, but you work that 10 or 12-hour shift. You come home, and you immediately fall into being a mother, and so you fall into that role. You may have to cook dinner. You may have to help with homework. You may have that sick child that you have to nurture and take care of. And by the time it gets around to maybe 10 o'clock at night, then by this time you are just beat, and you may do something that it looks as though it's for you, like, you know, and I use the example of alcohol or drugs, but it could be eating. It could be any thing, you know, especially sweets. You know, a lot of us are addicted to sweets, and we eat, and they're comfort. They give us comfort, those comfort foods, you know, like the mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese and all of these kind of foods. They're comfort foods. And ice cream, you know, we might like, you know, get that carton of ice cream and even eat from the carton because we're so stressed. So I understand this. So we don't take that time for ourselves because we consider it to be selfish, but it's not. The greatest thing that you could do for anyone else is to take care of yourself, because then you're operating from a full vessel. You're able to give more because you are filling up your vessel, you know. Look at it like, think about it as like a glass of water. You know, if you're comfortable a drink of water from your glass of water, after a while, you're not going to have any water in your glass to give to anyone, even yourself. But if you're constantly, as you are giving other people water, you're constantly refilling that glass up. You're putting more water into it. And it's the same way with self-care. As you're taking care of others and you're giving out that love and that compassion and taking care of other people's needs, you fill yourself, your vessel up, you know, so that you can give more. I'm going to take care of me just for me. I'm not, you know, it's all about me. No, self-care equates to self-love. Self-love equates to being able to love others more. But the more love you have for yourself, the more love you have to give to others. The more your cup full, the more you can fill up someone else's cup. Writer and activist Parker Palmer put it this way, quote, "Self-care is never a selfish act. It is simply good stewardship of the only gift I have, the gift I was put on earth to offer others. Anytime we can listen to our true self and give the care it requires, we do it not only for ourselves, but for the many others whose lives we touch." Unquote. That I'm saying now. Self-care is not a luxury. It's a necessity. As we go through life and we determine what our purpose is, why have we been put here in this life? Why did Allah give us this life? Why did He make me, Jeannie Muhammad? What is it about me that He wants me to do, to be a servant to humanity? And I have found my purpose. I found my why. And my why requires that I give, because that's why I'm here. I'm here as a servant. I'm serving you today in this capacity of passing along what I know about self-care and the importance of it. And I'm passing it along not as an observer, but as a participant. I know what I am saying to you works because it has worked for me, because I decided what I needed to do to operate at my full capacity and be able to serve others. So I don't see self-care as a luxury. It's a necessity, because I don't want to be constantly going to the doctor, being sick, waking up not being able to function, not being able to serve, not being able to, someone calls me and I cannot offer them the best advice that I have to offer because I'm depleted. I don't have anything to offer because I'm depleted. I haven't been filling my cup up by taking care of myself. So self-care is a necessity. And once we understand and get over that feeling that, oh, I'm being selfish by taking care of myself, we will be so much better. Now, this is what self-care can do for you. You will have good mental and physical health. Mind, remember, this is about mind, body, and soul. You will start not, you won't have trouble thinking. In fact, you'll have, your mind will come up with some very creative things. You will seldom, as I said, have a sick day. You will do your best work every single day. You'll love to start the day. You will, as soon as your day starts, you will have things that you're doing. You'll have plans. You'll be excited about living. You'll be excited about life. You'll love to start the day. You won't dread it. You look forward to what comes next with enthusiasm. No matter what it is, you're ready to take on whatever life has to offer. And as you know, as we go through life, it may be something that might not be so good. It may be something that's wonderful. But whatever happens, we will be equipped to handle it. You'll be articulate. You'll be well-spoken. You'll have things to say. You'll have words to say that will be beneficial to others. You'll seldom miss a deadline. Remember I said that was why a lot of professions are stressed? You'll enjoy a great social life. You'll enjoy interacting with other people. You'll be ready to interact with other people. What self-care can do for you. This is what taking care, these are the benefits of your getting over that thought that I'm being selfish when I spend time thinking and doing what is necessary for me to operate at a high vibrational level. You'll be in a great mood. You'll have patience with those around you. You won't come home from that stressful job, walk in, and immediately let the things like the sneakers in the middle of the floor set you off and have you yelling and screaming at the people that you love. You will be able to manage complex tasks with ease. You'll be on top of things. You'll feel like you're organized because you will be organized. You'll feel as though you can keep going all day with enthusiasm. You'll have no trouble making decisions. These are all the things that can happen for you if you decide that you're going to start taking care of yourself. You're relaxed. You're calm. You know how life happens. You're going through the day and you got plans and you're doing things and you decided you're going to do this and you got this plan, but it doesn't work out the way that you plan. Does it totally throw you off? If you're not taking care of yourself and your vessel is empty, it doesn't take much for you to blow up and not be relaxed and calm. But if you are really taking care of yourself and you know what it is that you need, and each one of us is unique, what you need, then when things come along in life happens, then you will be more relaxed and calmer. You'll look and feel great. When you're looking, when you get enough sleep, you know, have you ever looked at yourself when you in the mornings when you wake up and you haven't had enough sleep? You know how you look. We follow up in a timely manner with other people when we are really truly taking care of ourselves, because we want for others what we want for ourselves. You always have something going on because life is exciting. Life is full of joy and peace and happiness. Now I'm going to say this right here. Not that every moment, because people ask me this because I'm a happiness coach, are you always happy? No, I am not always happy because I'm human. Things happen to throw me off. And I will find myself at times overreacting to something. Yes, the happiness coach overreacts at times because I'm human. But I accept that about myself. And whereas at one time it may have taken me days to get over something, now it may only take me hours. Immediately start putting things into place that I know that will bring me up out of that. And it's not to the extreme that it was at one time when I would overreact. So, yeah, we're human. So we're not going to be happy going around, you know, giggly and, you know, all day and every day and, you know, but we have control, more control over our emotions instead of letting our emotions control us. So you're going to be full of enthusiasm as you go through the day. You're going to be enthusiastic about life. You're going to enjoy what is going on. Now, there are the three main categories of self-care I talked about: your mind, your body, and your soul. These are not separate entities. They're all interrelated. Whatever affects your mind is going to affect your body and your soul. Whatever in your spirit, whatever affects your soul is going to affect your body and your mind. So, you know, it's all interrelated. So that's the practices that I'm going to share with you, although they may be specifically geared towards, say, your mind, they're going to affect all other aspects of you. For your mind, this is your emotional self-care. A journaling. You know, right, I'm a big one for writing things down. You know, when we first started out, I talked about having a pen and pencil. I advocate always carrying a pen and pencil with you. I advocate writing down things that bother you, things that you're grateful for, things that, you know, in a gratitude journal. That is one of the best things that we can do for ourselves, because we spend so much time focused on the negative in our lives that this brings us down. We naturally gravitate towards negativity before we do positivity, when it's positive thoughts, positive actions, you know, that will elevate. And a gratitude journal is the fastest way to get us back on track about being positive about the life that we live. Just journaling, having a gratitude journal, taking a bubble bath, taking time. You know, I'm going to go back to my scenario about the nurse. There is nothing wrong with, say, when you come home from that stressful job, of saying the first 30 minutes of my coming home is me time. And we train other people how to treat us. we train other people how to honor our boundaries. However, and it may take time. You know, you may be so your children, your husband may be so used to you just coming in, tripping over those sneakers, and then going off that they've even really probably tuned you out. That's just mom. She's just going through one of her changes again. So they tune you out. So we have to train people how to treat us. But we first have to train ourselves how to treat ourselves and understand that we are worthy of being loved. We're worthy of being given kindness and consideration, and we're worthy of that by starting with self-care. Happiness, to me, I always say happiness starts with all of those self words, self-care, self-love, self-worth, self-awareness. So we have to train people how to treat us. You come home from work, you walk through the door, you have trained your family how to treat you. You walk in and you, you know, give everybody, you know, the greetings, and if you trip over the sneakers, you trip over the sneakers and you're headed towards the bathroom where you're going to have a nice, relaxing bubble bath. And you're going to listen to some relaxing music, calming music. That's another subject about music. If there's a therapy, music therapy, that I could go into, but it's a whole different topic. Not a whole different topic, but it's a whole different presentation. Okay. You might want to take a walk. You know, you get off work, before you come home, take your nice stroll, walk through the park or some other place that is nice that will take your mind off of what is going on with you. Take a walk. Do some positive self-talking while you're on this walk. Have some self-affirmations. Show yourself self-compassion. You will be you're compassionate with all the other people in your life. Show that compassion to yourself. A great way is when you are spending time with your loved one, set aside quality time. Time that you are not, that you're just enjoying being with each other. These are things for your emotional self-care. And you can give yourself permission to take a break. You don't have to go all the time. It's okay to say, I'm not going to do anything. I am taking 15 minutes of just doing nothing. It's okay. It's okay. Read a book. Go to therapy if you are having deep emotional problems. You're depressed, anxious. Oh, there's nothing wrong with seeking help, going to therapy, and understanding why you're having these problems. Seek help. The body. This is the physical self-care. Move around. Do movement. Do exercise regularly. Prioritize sleep. Eat healthier food. Eat whole foods. Don't let McDonald's and Wendy's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and Church's Chicken and Popeye Chicken, don't let these be your go-to. Eat whole foods. Don't be eating processed foods all the time, foods that are really, really killing us and not adding to our health. And beverages, don't be drinking all this soda. Now I'm getting old. Take care of this body. This is your physical self-care. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to this body. Give it the best foods, the best beverages, which the best is water. Now for your soul, spiritual self-care. Praying is one of the best things that we can do. Don't neglect your prayers. Muslims, we're going into Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak. We're going into Ramadan. A perfect time, a perfect reset time. Let's do our praying. Let's do our five prayers a day. Let's really dedicate ourselves to reading the Holy Quran. Let's dedicate ourselves to making that spiritual connection with Allah. It's a perfect reset time. Meditating is another wonderful practice. Just taking 5 or 10 minutes of just being quiet and breathing exercises, that's a wonderful meditation. Listening to positive messages and talks, you know, journaling, again, I really say for your soul, being able to write out your feelings, spending time outside with nature. And don't neglect going to your spiritual services, be you Muslim or Christian or Jew or whatever spiritual service you have. Go to your service. Spend time communicating with your Creator. Spend time communicating with like-minded people. And this will rejuvenate your soul. The possibilities are endless about what you can do, but only you know what you need. Only you know. Each one of us are individuals, and your needs are different from my needs, but it takes self-analysis, self-awareness for you to be understand what you need. It is time now for another break, and when we come back, we're just going to go into where to get started. How do you get started on this self-care journey? But now, if you have a question, I will answer questions after the next break, and call in 515-605-9891. And while we're on break, be sure to get you a drink of water.
With Allah's name, most merciful, benefactor, most merciful, redeemer, we are grateful to announce that during the month of Ramadan, here on American Muslim 360, yours truly, Kareem Hamid and Michael Hameen, shall share the Ramadan sessions of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, Sunday evenings from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time, here on American Muslim 360 Radio. We look forward to your presence pre-Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
In our music, and we hope that you will join us in supporting CWSC and American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic station in the nation. This is Yusuf Ramadan, and as you know, CWSC and Community-Wide Share Conference and American Muslim 360 has my solid support. And we're asking if you join us in supporting them as well. As-salamu alaykum.
The peace be on you. As-salamu alaykum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Why Self-Care. I am Jeannie Muhammad, your global happiness expert. We left off with talking about the best practices to have in the three main categories of self-care, which is mind, body, and soul. So now let's talk about where to start. Okay, where to start? Where do you start? You might say, oh my gosh, you know, I've got all of this going on. Where do I start? When will I find the time? I've got, my day is already full. And, you know, you're going to stress me out talking about self-care. I don't have time for self-care. Now I'm getting stressed about self-care. Calm down. Self-care is like everything in life when we're reinventing ourselves, and this is what we're actually doing. I don't care. It's not important about where you are on your journey. You may be farther along than some people. You already may be practicing self-care, and I applaud you. Keep going. Keep growing, because it's a never-ending journey, because we all have, you know, I may do wonderful on my diet for months. And then I may do something that will throw it off, and when it gets thrown off, I have to work on getting back on my diet. So it's a never-ending process. Or you may be just starting out. You may be down in the gutters the way I was. I was down in the gutters. You know, I was living a life of hell before I decided that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Do you have a burning desire to be better? Desire feeds the will. Do you have a desire to be better? Do you have a burning desire to be better, but you just don't know where to start? So when we're trying to build the habit of self-care, the entire process can be daunting and kind of scary about where to start. Now, there are many different areas you may need to focus on to be truly healthy and happy. Therefore, it is so important to start small. Try to eat the entire meal in one bite. Start small. Studies have shown that baby steps work best when it comes to forming new habits. And this is what you're doing. You're forming a new habit, self-care. This may not have been something that you have been ever focus on before, taking care of yourself. It takes forming new habits. So start small. Every small step is important. What is important also is consistency and being persistent. And understanding that you may fall down, but it's important to get back up. You fall down, you get back up, and you keep going on your journey. Now, I have a system. I call it the self-care system. And in this self-care system, I focus on one habit at a time. And each habit is meant to be formed over the course of 1 month. The first thing that I focus on is sleep. And I have, you know, go through making suggestions and recommendations on how you form a habit and what is necessary to form a habit of being able to sleep better, get a good night's sleep, change that habit of burning the candle at both ends. It takes time. Nothing is going to happen overnight. It's a process. Give yourself permission to fall into the process and really start to realize, I can do this. I can train my family. They're used to walking all over me because I've walked all over me. So because I've walked all over me, other people feel like they can walk all over me. So it will take time, time. Form small habits with sleep. The second thing that I focus on is eating right. Now, I'm going to say right here as far as a small step, and this is something that we can do right now. We can start it right now, and that is when I was talking about being hydrated. Because so many of us do not understand that the reason we are feeling the way we are is just that we need a drink of water. We need some good water. Like I said, you know, I'm not going to go into, you know, what you could do your research on how important it is to have alkaline water and the importance of it. But I'm going to tell you what I do and the habit that I have every morning, and this is something that you can do and you can start immediately. I have formed a habit of it so that I make sure that I'm hydrated. Concentrate on just that one thing for right now, just that one thing, becoming hydrated. Concentrate on that for the next month. You will feel better if you haven't been doing it, if you haven't concentrated on getting enough sleep and eating right. Those two things, sleep, eating right, and exercise. Those are three things that we can do, and it doesn't require, you know, other than our discipline and our setting up a routine. Now, my routine in the mornings is I get up, I have my prayer, you know, I do my ablution, and I pray. I read the Holy Quran. I do affirmations, and before I have anything to drink like coffee, I get me an 8-ounce glass of water and I add a little lemon juice. And what this does is it gets my organs and everything. I'm hydrated, you know, it's alkaline, and it helps start getting my my body moving. Before I do any, it's the first thing every morning that I put into my body is water with a little lemon juice. Easy. Easy. Just concentrate on that, doing that, making that a habit. Just make it a habit every day. You know, it may take a while for it to be ingrained in you, but you can do it. Become a habit of making sure before you put anything else into your body, you drink water. I also, to make sure that I remember to drink water, I associate it with my prayer time. I make sure that before, in between my prayers, I drink water. Right after my prayer, I drink water. Before my next prayer, I make sure I've had water. So this has become habit. It didn't happen overnight. You know, it took being persistent and consistent with my actions. But now when I am feeling some kind of way, you know, I can say, oh, okay, I'm dehydrated. I have become in tune with my body. I can recognize the signs of where I am. And eating right, we eat such complicated meals. It's really great to keep our diet simple. And 'cause we have been, and stay away, as I said, please, stay away from the processed foods. Stay away from the fast foods. Because when we're eating these fast foods, we're not really eating food most of the time. Passing off as foods. So fruits, fresh fruits, vegetables, start incorporating more of that into your diet. This is something you can start making a habit when you go to the grocery store, you know, start shopping on the outside, you know, where go make your first trip into the vegetables and fruit section. Make that your first stop when you go into the grocery store. Make sure you're getting I love the fact that, you know, we say as Muslims, we pray five times a day, because really that is a wonderful, when you think about it, look at how God gave us the rakaas and the movements, because it forces us to move our bodies. Look at the the movement of when we go into our five prayers per day. That is, it gives us that movement. Look at us getting up and down, bending. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So that is what I am recommending, is we start small. Just start small. Start setting those healthy boundaries that I was saying as far as our families are concerned. Now, that's going to take a lot of effort, but sit down with your family. Sit down, have a family meeting, and explain to your family exactly what you are striving to do and why you are striving to incorporate self-care into your life and the benefits for them of you taking care of yourself, and how the result of your taking care of yourself, how it would benefit them. Sit down and have that conversation. Sit down and let them know that you're learning how to say no to certain things, that you're not... Your intention is not to be mean. Your intention is everything that you're doing is not out of meanness, but out of love. Love for yourself and love for them, because you want to be a better person, a better representative of yourself for them. So you want to develop those attitude of gratitude. Again, I cannot express enough. And this is all in my self-care system. It's a book that I have written. It's a program that I am working on now. It's a part of my self-care workshops, the self-care system. It's and my book can be purchased at my website. I gave it at the beginning of the workshop, imjeanniem.com, or on Amazon. It's called The Self-Care System. And in here, I talk about the practice of gratitude, how important it is to honor our Creator and be thankful for this life that He's given us, and not dwell on the negative aspects of what may be going on in our lives, but really take into consideration how blessed we are and concentrate on those blessings. And the more we do that, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling as though you are, you know, just everything is not going right, pull out a sheet of paper and start writing and thinking about all the things you have to be grateful for, starting with the fact that you can write, you see, starting with the fact that you woke up, starting with the fact that you're breathing, you have life, you have an opportunity. Start practicing gratitude. And I am going to take a break here. We're going to take another break, and we only have just a few more things to say on this subject of self-care. So if we're going to take that break, and you know the drill by now, get you a drink of water while you're on the break. Take you a sip of water, or even drink a whole 8-ounce glass. So I'll see you back here in after this short break. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Families, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us this afternoon for the Why of Self-Care workshop. I am Jeannie Muhammad, your global happiness expert. We are at the end of the workshop, but I want to remind everyone again that This workshop is part of a self-care system, strategies that will transform your life this year. That it's a book that I've written. It's in Audible. It's in ebook form. And if anyone that's listening to this broadcast would like a free copy of the downloadable or the ebook or the Audible copy, please let me know. And you can go to my email, which is jeannemuhammad@gmail.com. It's JeanneMuhammad@gmail.com. If you go to that email or if you go to my website, IamJeanneM.com, IamJeanneM.com, I will make sure that you receive a free downloadable copy of the self-care system, strategies that will transform your life this year. As I said, it is also in Audible on Amazon.com, and I will make sure that you either receive the Audible or the downloadable copy so that you can start transforming your life and make self-care part of your way of life. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. I am Jeannie Muhammad, your global happiness expert. Sister Latifa?
Yes, ma'am. We still have about 15 minutes. If there's anyone that have any questions or comments or anything they'd like to add, please press 1 to get in the queue. All right. I do not see anyone.
Okay, I have a question that was submitted to me.
Okay.
They asked me why for being passionate about self-care. Why am I so passionate about it? And why am I on this journey of, and why did I become a happiness coach? So first I'm going to do that, first part about why I became a happiness coach. In my journey, starting out, you know, going through a lot of, and I've shared my story here with you, Sister Latifa, about going through a lot of domestic abuse, about abusing drugs and alcohol. And finally, and I think this is what most of us have to do whenever we've decided that we're at a point in our lives where we should take responsibility for where we are and understand that, yes, we can point fingers. Yes, I can say I'm here because of my father and my mother. Yes, I can say I'm here because I grew up in poverty and I didn't have a great start in life. We can say that. And it would all be true. But at a point in our lives, we can also say, I can change this. I have the ability to change this. I am going to take responsibility for where I am. Now, for me, I stopped in my tracks and truly became honest with myself. I looked at myself, and I did not like what I saw. I realized how unhappy I was, how I was making the people around me miserable because I did not know and love myself. So I developed an up-close personal relationship with the law. I took time to be alone. I didn't want to be alone. I felt like I always needed someone. I was needy, very needy. And so I decided to develop an up-close personal relationship with my Creator. And over a period of time in really developing that relationship, I realized I really didn't love myself. I realized that I didn't see my value. I did not see my worth. I was not taking care of myself. I was being very destructive, you know, to my with my health. And I was shortening my life. It was like I was on a suicide mission. You know, I was slowly killing myself. So over, and this is why I say it's a process. It's not, you may change in 6 months. It may take somebody else 2 years. It may take someone else 3 years. But when we stay in the process of reinventing ourselves into the person that we want to be, that we're proud of, that we know that our Creator is saying is pleased with, I'm pleasing to my Creator. It may take, you know, years, but staying in the process of making those changes. So I have been in this process for years. And so when I finally realized all the work that I've done on myself and where I've reached a point where I can truly say, I'm happy. I'm happy with me. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with where I am. Now, how did I get here? And I had to, I went back and I started top down and bottom up, and I realized what I had to do. And so I can say to other people, it's workable. This is what you can do. There's a plan that I can put in place, and happiness is a mindset. Happiness is a mindset. I decided I wanted to be a happiness coach because I know that that is something that is truly lacking in the world today. Most people are just not happy. And the there was a study done, and I want to give credit to the person, but I can't think of her name right now. She's another happiness coach, but she did a has a program where she has divided up like a pie happiness. She said that, you know, there have been studies done at Harvard and Yale about, you know, happiness and where it originates from. And they determined through these studies that 50% of our happiness or dissatisfaction or unhappiness or whatever level we're at, 50% of it is from our environment, from our mother, father, you know, how we were raised, their level of dissatisfaction, you know, their level of not being happy. We carry on about 50% of that into our lives. The other, there's 10% of happiness. We think happiness is in things. We think that we will be happy when we get that beautiful house. We think that we will be happy when we marry that millionaire. We think that we will be happy when we get that beautiful Mercedes or Jaguar or whatever your car of choice is. You think that you, and it will give you temporary, it will give you a level of happiness, but most of the time when you get that big, fine house, you're happy for a little while, but after a while, that happiness wears off, and you may even think you need a house even bigger. Those are things.
Yeah, you're never satisfied.
Pardon?
I say you're never satisfied. That's because it's
right.
Coming from outside rather than inside. Alhamdulillah.
We have a caller, Sister Jeannie. We have a caller.
Okay.
1-917. State your name away. Calling from you on the town hall.
Yeah.
Straight to the point. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Delisi Umar, Melbourne, Florida. My wife, Manira, and I was listening at the program. Just wanted to compliment you on a fine program and keep up the good work, Sister Latifah and Sister Jean. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Praises due to Allah. Alhamdulillah. That is wonderful. That's wonderful. wonderful to hear. So that's my why, really, of self-care. You know, I want for my brothers and my sisters what I have for myself. I want others. Yes, I know that. What, Sister Lativa, think about this. I'm walking around happy and everybody around me is miserable.
Yeah, that's not good. I remember Tony Robbins just was listening to him one time, and he said if you get to Success Mountain and you get there by yourself, he said, I'm pretty sure you'll be jumping off from the mountain. Because you can't, you know, having happiness without anybody to share with is nothing. So, just having things. So, really, you got to go within yourself, like you said. It has to be something within. The happiness has to be within.
It can't be
temporarily external. But internal
That's right.
is where the real happiness.
That's right. That's right. And I want to thank you, Sister Latifa, for this opportunity to share my workshop, Why Self-Care. I am really grateful to you for providing this opportunity to me. I really appreciate you, and I admire your work so much. And so I'm just honored that you are sharing your space with me.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, Sister Jeannie, I always, you know, follow you on different LinkedIn and stuff, and I see the great things that you're doing. And, you know, you always want to spread greatness. So if you see somebody that's doing something that you think that the listening audience would benefit from, then that's what I do. I try to see what I, you know, and if I know the listening audience would benefit, I'll be saying, Alhamdulillah. Let's bring her on. So I'm thankful that you were able to share. So Alhamdulillah. Now you wanna give them, you know, just in case anyone would like to contact you, would you like to give that information one more time before you get off the air, please?
Yes, ma'am. My email is jeanniemuhammad@gmail.com. And don't forget, if you email me, I will give you a free downloadable copy of the Self-Care System, Strategies That Will Transform Your Life This Year. And that's jeanniemuhammad@gmail.com. And my website, if you go to my website, you will find my other books there and a downloadable copy of a self-love report that you will, I think, find beneficial, if not for you, for someone that you love or someone that you know need to have more self-love. And that, my website is iamjeannie.com. And I would love to hear from you and love to be able to be of greater service to you.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. And listening audience, you've heard it. You've heard Jeannie, and she's giving you information if you'd like to contact her. And we appreciate you all listening in this afternoon. We know you had a choice, and your choice was to be with us, and we appreciate you. So you all have a great rest of your day, inshallah. May Allah continue to bless us on this journey that we call life. Thank you so much, Jeannie, and you have a great rest of your day as well. We are going to lead out with Benjamin Bilal, Breaking Point, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
bizarre. Feeling the wrong thing to me at the wrong time. I guess my check the same brand. Cause I know about at the breaking point. Won't take a trip, won't even smoke a joint. And you know,
No, that I'm free.